All right, well, let's, for those, for Kevin's sake, in, do you have a Bible? Chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. He has a crown, but it's the Stephanos instead of the diadem. It's the crown that you saw the Olympic athletes put on their head. That's called a Stephanos. He has a bow with no arrows, and he's going forth conquering and to conquer. Now, this is every time that you are in a place of famine from your perspective. You meaning the whole human race. We jump on a horse to solve the issue. And that horse that we jump on to solve the issue is the antithesis of waiting on God. And so the idea then, the first thing that happens whenever an experience, when anyone experiences a famine, remember, Elimelech, he had a minor famine. The famine wasn't anything about his starving or even people in Israel starving. But the problem was, is that he wouldn't be able to sell his goods for as much as he did before because of the laws and during any kind of assumed need, you couldn't do the price gouging. And so he and his family left and went to Edom. So because of a small famine, he jumped on a horse and they went to Edom. He had an idea. Now the whole book of the book that talks about Elimelech, the book of Ruth, is this mystery of this one thing, if we can hear it. So he goes forth conquering and to conquer. He's going to conquer the famine. And again, it's Elimelech. To me, the king. I've got to take care of this. I'm going to do this. So, but the horse, the white horse, he has a bow but no arrows, going forth conquering to conquer, and he's even got his crown on before he starts. He's already figured it out. Right? But he never rides alone. He's immediately following the white horse of the Antichrist. Is the red horse. And he'd open the second seal. I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace away from the earth. That's the exact first thing that happens. The moment the white horse comes out, then anyone, first of all, the person for whom he let, of whom, or from whom the horse was let out, loses peace. Unless things go his way. So, now he loses peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. I promise you, you kill immediately. Once you get on the white horse, then the red horse comes out, and there was given unto him a great sword, except as you know, it's not the great sword, it's the Greek word Makarios. No, not Makarios, it's like Makarios. Where is it? How come I can't remember what the word is?
Does it have to do with the tongue or something?
It's pretty close. It's Makaria, Machaira, and it's the weapon of an assassin, the hidden weapon. So there's a smile on his face while you're stabbed to death, and that's why acting is so terrible, because you'll never recognize that you're on the red horse, that you've let the white horse out, unless you say what's there, unless you take the risk of destroying fellowship.
to say, I've withdrawn from you, which spiritually is to kill.
That's interesting that the imagery of a great sword is a huge thing, and yet it, by that word, it's a small...
It's the assassin sword, hidden, yeah. Concealed from view. And he bathes the earth in blood with it. And he bathes this place with it. Now, it's a good thing that all the horses come out. It's not a bad thing, because if just the white horse came out and the red and the black and the gray green horse didn't come out, then you wouldn't know that the white horse leads to death. You got it? Okay. So now, the next horseman. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Now these three beasts are critical." The three beasts are, there's the fourth beast here in a minute, but it's the four beasts that are on each of the cardinal points of the compass that surround the throne. And I won't go into who they are and what they are, but they are the four points of the compass, which includes, then, it encompasses everything. So these four beasts are symbolic, once, because there's four, of everything, of all directions. Everybody understand that? And he had opened the third seal, and I heard the beast say, "Come and see," and I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. Now, the balances always represent cause and effect, measure. Okay. And I behold, a black horse, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the wine and the oil." The oil and the wine. All right. A chronix of wheat is what it says. In Hebrew, in Greek, it's a chronix of wheat for a denarius. A denarius is the wage of a working man for one day, and the chronix is the amount necessary to feed one man for one day. So the whole idea of there is, because of the grace of God, there's still enough, even at this point, of the lack, even though we've got all the beasts coming out, so that you always have food and shelter therewith to be content. But he then reveals, this black horse reveals the paucity and the danger of the white horse coming out. Am I communicating, or are you still back on whether or not we should have beer in the... Huh?
No, okay.
You're past that?
Yeah.
I knew you were.
The three measures of barley, that signifies the paucity?
Well, it's a measure of wheat or a measure... Either one. It's a measure of wheat for a penny or a three measures of barley for a penny. The wheat, that just means that barley is the food for the animals, and wheat is, for the provender. I've said that whenever time it says the word barley harvest, it's got harvest. Barley harvest is about Passover. Wheat harvest is about Pentecost. All right. Lastly, but again, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine, even though these stupid horses are coming out and all kinds of destructions in their path, the bride, the anointing, if you will, and the bride stay protected. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked and beheld a pale horse, and him that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. All right. No matter what you do, no matter how good the idea, no matter how righteous it is, the horse never travel. The white horse never travels alone. It always comes forth. The red follows, the black, and then the pale horse. Now, from God's standpoint, that is, you remember I said last night that He has subjected, the creature is subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Well, this represents the hope, because from God's perspective, this then is the process by which you see the death and the stupidity, and you can keep, you stop letting out any horses. It's the same thing that James was talking about. Let's go to James 1, since we looked at that the other day, since we're slow. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, the diadem, not the Stephanos, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Now that you endure, again, you endure test or temptation. By definition, you cannot be tempted unless you think you're in a famine. You need something. You got it? You have to think something's wrong in order to be tested, to be tempted. Okay. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that has nothing. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Let no man say when he is tempted or tested, I am tempted or tested of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. It's the fruit of the fall that causes you to be drawn away. You got it? And then what happens again? He's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin has finished, it bringeth forth death. Now that's the good thing. Because hopefully over 50,000, after the 51st thousand time that you've gone through this process, you'll see that it's not worth being tempted. It's not worth being drawn away. There's no lust that I can conceive of. There's no desire. There's no need. There's no nothing that I can conceive of that will take me away from only dependence on God. Now, the other places call this fornication. When you're drawn away and go to some place other than the Father for anything, it's called fornication. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. But the fornication is going someplace other than here. And the word, as you know, abstain means be fed up with. So all of these processes that you go through with these horses, all of the process that you go through with being drawn away, and all of them lead, they go from the idea or the thought or the judgment to the red. Somebody doesn't agree with you. The moment they don't agree with you, you kill them. To the famine, to the death. That's a good thing. Here, it goes from drawn away of your own lust, enticed, sin, death. A good thing. And I promise you, you won't hear that anywhere else. So can you get an understanding of what these horses are and think of the stampede that you've created in your life, the number of horses you've let out of the pen, the number of people you've murdered with your assassin's knife or assassin's sword?
I'm at this knife-edge point where who's opening that gate? And in one sense, me, but on the other sense, really, it's God opening the gate.
It's you opening the gate because you're drawn away of your own lust.
If I can control the gate being opened or closed... Then
nobody asked you to control it.
Yes, you just said that.
No, I asked you to be fed up with it.
Well, you get fed up by going through that experience.
I know, but be careful what you hear. Well, let no man say he is tempted. I am tempted of God.
Well, then I'm in charge. I've got the ability.
That's it. That's not what it says. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. I am being tested. I'm tempted." You're not. It's not God. God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither he tempteth thee any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. It's sin. It's the sin nature working its will until you are fed up with it. Until you've seen the vanity, the futility of it. Then it's not a decision, or it's not an automatic. It's a what is.
Because
you're fed up with it.
You see it,
yeah, okay. So like you cannot, you can spend the rest of your life eating those little crackers, you know, for the communion wafer. But it's clear, and if you study the Passover, what's that is a mini Passover, that it's meaningless, that wafer and that wine are meaningless unless you're fed up with everything else. Well, it says make sure you're not doing it unworthily. You're doing it worthily if you can be honest and say, you know,
whatever the truth is.
But don't lie to you or yourself or God or others or the body. And that's why it should be said before every time that the afkumen is given or taken. Can everybody do this? If you have ought against someone, you can't do it. If you have not forgiven everyone from the heart, you can't do it. If you're in that position, then if you say, I can't forgive this person, or I have ought against them, or I can't forgive this situation, if you have the honesty of being able to say it, then you've given it to God before you take it, instead of eating and drinking damnation to yourself. Is that clear? This is pretty important. That's why going for it is always the answer. If you haven't seen the futility of it, if you haven't seen the emptiness of it, you go for it. Somebody isn't here. Who isn't here, Jim? Are you here? You're all right.
I'm hopped up on allergy pills.
All right. Go back to Revelation 6. Now, in verse 9, it's interesting. And now it says, now we're going to open the fifth seal, but we don't see any, there's no beast telling us to see, because the four beasts are the ones that are on the throne. There are four beasts and there are 24 courses of the priesthood. The four beasts have put their worship. The 24 courses of the priesthood have worship. That means that from all cardinal points of the compass and all activity that's necessary for the economy of God is finished, because they're all at rest. They're all in the state of or an attitude of worship. Now,
it's like they've accomplished the purpose which they were created.
And so have you. And that's what it's all he's waiting for. It's for us to see the same thing the 24 elders and the four beasts saw. Well, let's look at that real quick before we go to the fifth seal. Let's go back to chapter 4.
Four Revelation?
Yeah. This describes the action around God, what's going on around God's throne. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. So we've got four beasts and a trumpet talking to this guy. Never mind, I shouldn't go there. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like unto a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast was the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And we'll study those beasts later. And the 4 beasts, each of them had 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they sat. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Only thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So that's the first 3 verses of the book of Revelation are the message to the 7 churches. 4 describes around the throne. 5 talks about who can unseal the book, and it's only the Lamb. And then the action starts in 6. And that's what we're starting now, is the action of the book of Revelation. And I promise you that it's always true, because the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. There has never been any time in which it was waiting for something else to happen. But the thing I want you to take away now is every time you have a judgment down or judgment up, every time that you have an idea, every time that you respond to a famine other than in waiting on God, then you let the horse out. Then the other horse. Then the other horse. Then the other horse. Then that didn't work. Now I've got another horse I've got to let out. I've got to change the horse. I've got to change the bridle. I'm going to change his... There's endless, endless horses that you let out. Until you see that the guy on the horse, which is you, really is a fool, because he's going forth conquering and to conquer with a bow without arrows and a crown of dust. And then you can rest and see that Christ alone is your life. You're no more drawn away. You don't owe your mind anything. And when they saw the 4 beasts, all of the possible directions with the eyes everywhere and within, when they worshipped, then the elders, there are 24 courses of the priesthood, and that's the 24 elders. And when they were seated, and then when they left the seat, it was finished. I hope you understand. Anybody else?
It's amazing, this whole concept of being finished, which we talk about all the time. unless you understand and can be apprehended by it, it's just intellectual. But when it gets through that wall and penetrates you, and it's finished, then it produces a sense of peace. Yeah.
And all he wants is for there to be silence in the temple. And you are the temple.
For what, a half hour?
If there's a silence in the temple.
A half hour.
Yeah, but you can't be silent for a second. Because you still don't know that the one sitting on the throne, sitting on the horse and sitting on the throne is you, and you're a fool. Because you're only showing yourself. Well, all of us are going to be pulled into it.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though.
Well, you're not going to be the subject of it, but the whole community is going to be pulled in. If you don't want to be pulled in, then you're not part of the community.
Because he's got a problem, we don't want...
Well, the point about... No. Forget it. This has nothing to do with Jim. It has nothing to do with Roger. It has nothing to do with Michael. It has nothing to do with anybody. It has to do with what was the best, what we should do. Okay. Anybody else? Did you understand the horses?
I was riding last night.
But you're not doing it now,
right? No.
That's why the evidence that the horses have been left out is because the first horse is the idea, the thing, the judgment. The second horse is the red horse. And the first thing it says about the red horse is he's given power to take peace from the earth.
Yeah.
The evidence, the absolute evidence, is if you're not at 100% peace and you're trying to, I'll deal with this later, or this will take care of itself, or I'll just let this gel. Then you're going to let out more horses to try to gain the peace. Does that communicate? No more gelling it. No more. I'm going to just think about it. Well, no. If you think about it, I promise you're going to let out 23 more white horses. Because you'll come up with a solution. And then you'll have to wait until each one of those takes peace from the earth and murders 40 or 50 people. But you see, it never ends. You have to have the discernment to know that if peace has left the earth, instant action is required. Because it means that your garment has been spotted by the flesh. And it means you have leprosy of the forehead, is what it really means. Okay. Take a big guy.